Winning once is hard enough.
The wait is over.
How sweet it is, the fruits of victory.
But this year's battle,
show the Giants who the real bosses are in the NL West,
is for back-to-back.
Let's go, Dodgers. Let's do back-to-back. Conquer for Kirsch.
Welcome to Postseason Dodger Talk.
I'm grateful for your show.
And I love listening to you, especially on the game.
Your chance to sound off on the boys in blue. Call the show at 866-987-2570.
Without you guys, there's no Dodger Talk.
LA Dodger Baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito,
seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navien Tankless Water Heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Now your host for Postseason Dodger Talk, Tim Cates.
Well, the Dodgers find themselves now in a hole, just like they were a year ago in the bubble in Arlington. Down 0-2 in the NLCS. The Dodgers are going to have to get themselves off the mat. This time, fly back home to Dodger Stadium for games 3, 4, and 5. And then head back to Atlanta and win 1-2 in Atlanta to win this NLCS. Hi, everybody, and welcome in to Dodger Talk here on AM570 LA Sports. Thanks for being with us. Our phone number, 866-987-2570, 866-987-2570. Lots to get to tonight. I think a lot of Dodger fans not happy with some of the decision-making tonight. I'll start off right there. My own thoughts here for the first minute or so. The Dodgers' offense, it has to get better. The Dodgers hit a two-run home run from Corey Seager in the first inning. Two batters in, they're up 2-0. They could have strung together more hits. They had runners on base in the first. Instead, they don't. They get two, and that's it. The Dodgers, five times in this game, had the leadoff batter reach base. And only in the first inning and the seventh inning were they able to get those leadoff batters in. The second, fifth, and sixth inning, the Dodgers had opportunities. Leadoff batter on, getting to second base with one out, and could not get a hit to drive him in. The Dodgers were up 2-0. Then they were up 4-2. It felt like they should have been up 7-2, 8-2, 9-2, the amount of guys they were leaving on base. There was traffic on the base paths all night long for the Dodgers. And you don't believe me? They stranded 10 runners. They were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. That one hit, Chris Taylor's bloop single scoring 2 in the seventh inning. That was it as far as the Dodgers offense. They had 4 hits in the entire game. One of those was the home run from Corey Seager in the first. The other one, the bloop single from Chris Taylor in the seventh. Outside of those 2 hits that drove in runs, they had 2 hits the rest of the game. That's one storyline. The lack of big hits. The lack of leaving guys on base and not driving them in. Max Scherzer admitted after the game he has dead arm. He has pitched a lot. 4 of the 8 Dodgers games this postseason, Max Scherzer has pitched in. He's thrown a 16 2/3 innings already in 12 days. 12 days, 16 2/3 innings. He admitted tonight he had a dead arm when he was warming up in the bullpen, and he thought maybe he can get through it. It would loosen up once he gets going. It didn't. He told them, come get me if you have to, and they came and got him in the fifth inning. And I have no problem with him getting the start. I love it. He battled. He kept him in the game. He gave him everything they've got. And I think Dave Roberts at that point made the right decision to go out and get him in the fifth inning, because the way the Braves lineup was unfolding there, they had left-handed hitters in Rosario and Freeman, the top of the order. It was flipping around. This would be the third time they had seen him. He's got a dead arm. Get him out of the game. And they did. And Alex Vesey came in, gave up a single, but then got strikeout, and got out of that fifth inning. No damage done. And the Dodgers were up, or tied still, 2-2. I thought he pushed the right buttons. And I even want to get to the eighth inning, because I know a lot of you Dodger fans, we have no lines open. Every line is full. Julio Urias coming out of the bullpen on what was his bullpen day. He did not throw before the game. You're bringing him in to face, again, the top of the lineup. Same situation when she took Max Scherzer out in the fifth inning and brought Alex Vesia, the left-hander, in. You're up 4-2, eighth inning, and you've got the lineup flip over again for the Braves with Rosario, left-handed hitter, Freddie Freeman, left-handed hitter, and Ozzie Albies, switch hitter. The thinking is, lefty Julio Urias, if he can give us 12 to 15 pitches, it's his bullpen night. He's been so good. He's pitched out of the bullpen before. The matchup on paper looked really good, and I didn't have a problem with it. Your only other left-hander left in the bullpen to face Rosario and Freeman in the top half of the eighth inning is Justin Brule. Justin Brule, Julio Urias. Justin Brule, Julio Urias. Who are you going with? Well, it's not like you're asking Julio to do something he's never done before and do it on a weird day because today's his bullpen day. Unfortunately for the Dodgers, Julio Urias did not have his curveball. Unfortunately for the Dodgers, Julio Urias' fastball was flat at 92-93, at least early in that inning. He got out of it with back-to-back punchouts, but he gave up two runs on three hits and threw 14 pitches, and the game was tied at four. It backfired on them. It backfired on Dave Roberts and the Dodgers having Julio Urias pitch the eighth inning. It just did. It was either Julio Urias, Justin Brule. Julio Urias, Justin Brule. Which left-hander are you going to in the eighth inning? And it backfired on the Dodgers. Julio didn't have his stuff. Then you get to the ninth inning. Brusdar Graterol on a relief. Gives up the leadoff single. Then a fielder's choice. Then the ground ball out. Two outs, runner at second, and Dansby Swanson and Eddie Rosario coming up. They go to Kenley Jansen, the closer, to get out of the jam. Keep that run from scoring and get to extra innings. The first pitch he throws is a fastball over the heart of the plate. 105 miles an hour exit velocity. One hopper right at Corey Seager, who on the shift was, what, 10 feet to the right of second base? It short hopped him. And he tried to pick it with a backhand. And it skipped off the end of his glove into center field. Swanson scores easily, and the Dodgers get walked off. Corey Seager's got to get in front of that ball. Ron Darling said it on TBS. I had the TV and the radio broadcast going. I want to get the most analysis I could. Ron Darling said it best right before it happened. Two outs, the go-ahead run at second. If you're in the infield, you have to do whatever you can to stop that ball from getting past you. What's the worst case? You play it off your body if it's smoked right at you and it hits you off the chest, hits off your glove, hits off your arm, it goes right in front of you, and you got first and third. All right, you live to fight to the next at bat. But if you try to pick it, it's a tough pick. If you make that, that's a great play. But it's not, you know, game 120 of the regular season. It's game two of the NLCS. You've got to put a body in front of that. It's a short hop, line drive, one hopper. That's a tough play to make for any infielder. You got to put your body in front of that. If you do, and it plays off like off your chest or it bounces right in front of you, you still have a shot, possibly, at getting Rosario. If it bounces too far away from you, again, worst case scenario, first and third, still two outs, and the next batter up, Freddie Freeman, who's been 0 for the series. You roll the dice against him. There was a lot of mistakes tonight at the plate, defense, and certainly execution just wasn't there from Julio Urias tonight. All right, let's go out to the phones. I said what I wanted to say. Let's hear what you have to say. Let's go to Jacob in Burbank, who's first up here on Dodger Talk on AM570 LA Sports. Hi, Jacob.
Yeah, hi. I'm just wanting to express some frustration on my end because I'm wanting the Dodgers to, you know, make better decisions. And the last two games, I haven't seen that. And so moving forward, I'd like to see a lot more from them. You know, as World Series champions, you know, the expectation is really high for them. So I just want your thoughts on this.
Yeah, expectations are real high, Jacob, and they got to play better. They got to have better timely hitting. They got to make sure they go out there and execute defensively. And if they're called upon, like Julio Urias tonight, cannot have an off night. Cannot have curveballs that are just absolutely flat and a fastball that's got no life to it. Just can't happen. That move backfired on the Dodgers. Tony and Downey is next up here, AM 570 LA Sports. Hi, Tony.
Hey, what's up, Tim? How are you doing today?
I'm frustrated. The more and more I think about this, Tony, the Dodgers let another one get away. They should be up 2-0 in this NLCS.
Yeah, Tim, I agree with you. 100% agree with you. And you know what? You couldn't have said it better. But the truth is, this is the playoff, and Julio Urias was not supposed to be in this game.
Why?
They had that
Why? You're going to go to Justin Brule?
We brought in two extra relievers for this matter, and this proves you why we brought them in and we didn't use them. You know, so Julio Urias was supposed to start fresh game four, and we were supposed to win this game today. And you know what? I agree with everything you said, but the truth is Julio Urias did not have his best because he was not supposed to start this game. He was not supposed to come in and relieve this game. He was supposed to start game four.
He still is going to start game four, Tony, and I appreciate it. I'm not going to get into a shouting match with you. He is still going to start game four. I guarantee you they didn't not just surprise him in the middle of the game and say, hey, Julio, you're going to pitch tonight. Hey, surprise. No, he knew before the game. I guarantee he knew. Hey, there could be a chance you get in. Be ready. Your number could be called tonight. You didn't throw your bullpen. You know, you got some bullets left in their chamber there. We may call upon you to get an out, to get two outs, to get out of a jam, to get an inning late. Whatever it is, be ready to go. But he just didn't have it tonight. The move backfired on them. His curveball was not there. Did not break. It was flat. His fastball had no life on it, especially the first three batters that he faced. He was able to get back-to-back punch-outs to get out of it. But Julio, on paper, the move looked really good. It did. Because if they would have put Justin Brule in at that situation, how many people right now, instead of calling and yelling at the move to bring in Julio Urias, are instead saying, why didn't we bring in Julio Urias? Why did we go to Justin Brule? Why are we not using our best left-hander if he's got a bullpen day? That's what you would be saying. I don't have a problem with the move. It backfired, though, on him. How many of these bullpen games do we talk about afterwards, Dodger fans, that, wow, all it takes is one guy to have a hiccup and it ruins a bullpen game? You've sort of been spoiled by how many bullpen games they've gotten right. And guys have passed that baton from the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth inning. One guy at a time, one inning at a time. Because all it takes is a bad link in the sixth inning and a guy to have an off day and give up a couple runs, and the bullpen game explodes in their face. That's what you do when you roll the dice with a bullpen game. In this situation, though, up two, with two lefties coming up at the top of the lineup there, I don't have a problem going to Julio Urias. It just didn't work. He didn't have any life on his pitches tonight. He just didn't. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll get to more of your phone calls. I think we're going to go a little later than we thought tonight. I know you're fired up. I am too. The Dodgers need to do a better job hitting the baseball with runners in scoring position. The Dodgers need to do a better job of driving in runners when they're on base. 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position tonight. 2-for-18 in the first two games? That is not going to win you games. And guess what? They haven't won the first two games. They're down 0-2 in this NLCS. And Corey Seager got to make that play in the ninth inning. If not, at least get in front of the ball and stop it from going into the outfield. Cannot try to pick a one-hopper that's going to short-hop you anyways off the bat. I know it was smoked. I know it was hit hard by Eddie Rosario, but you're a middle infielder. Put a chest in front of it. Get your body in front of it. You cannot backhand a short hop, you know, basically a line drive that short hopped him. You can't do that. Not in the ninth inning with the go-ahead run on at second base and a chance to go down 0-2 in the NLCS. It just cannot happen. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Your phone calls. Ned Coletti will join us at some point. Braves walk off the Dodgers 5-4 in Game 2 of the NLCS. Tim Cates in here on Dodger Talk on AM570 LA Sports.
On air at AM570, online at AM570LASports.com, and available by podcast on the iHeartRadio app. This is Dodger Talk with David Bassett.
Seager 6-for-28 in the postseason. That's 214. And on the first pitch he sees, a fly ball to right field. And deep, going back to the wall is Peterson, and it is gone. On two pitches, the Dodgers take a 2-0 lead. A Betts bloop single, and Seager a long distance home run over the wall and right.
Two batters in. The Dodgers were up 2-0 on the Atlanta Braves on the two-run home run from Corey Seager. Daniel's Jewelers home run forecast congratulates Meredith Loke of Glendale, who receives a $50 Daniel's Jewelers gift card for correctly predicting the number of home runs in the game. For your chance to win a $50 gift card, go to AM570LASports.com. Keyword home run. Tim Cates back with you here on Dodger Talk on your home of the Dodgers, AM570 LA Sports. Our phone number, 866-987-2570. You can always tweet at me, at Tim Cates, T-I-M-C-A-T-E-S, at Tim Cates, no underscores, no the real, no number ones or number twos, nothing like that, no misters in front of it, just at Tim Cates on Twitter if you want to send a comment or give me a follow. Let's head back out to the phones in a second, but our good buddy Ned Coletti from Sportsnet LA joins us now here on Dodger Talk on AM570 LA Sports. Ned, as you can imagine, the phone lines are smoking right now. Dodger fans not happy with the outcome of this game tonight. We'll start off with the fact that Julio Urías brought in the eighth inning of 4-2, and the move backfired on him tonight, Ned. The move just did not work. He didn't have his curveball. He didn't have his fastball. And what looked good on paper, bringing him in to face two lefties to start the eighth, didn't happen.
No, absolutely. And you know, sometimes you watch games start to unfold, and you look and you say, you know what, they could be an inning short here with true relief pitchers. Julio's pitched great all year, obviously, to win 20 games, but his innings pitched is way, way, way beyond anything he's ever done. So you got a bit of a different situation for him. And that just was not sharp tonight until he got to Jock Peterson. Mm-hmm. By then, the game had been tied. But tough outing for Julio, and certainly a tough loss. Reminds me of Game 4 in the World Series last year against Tampa. Kind of had the same feeling watching this one.
I didn't have a problem with the move, Ned. Justin Brule was the other left-hander. They could have gone to that situation. And the way the lineup was, you know, flipping over for the Atlanta Braves, you had Rosario and Freeman starting off that eighth inning, lefty-lefty, and then Ozzie Albies, the switch hitter, batting third. In theory, facing two lefties, it was his bullpen day. I don't mind the move. Everybody on social media and our callers so far are absolutely furious about the move of bringing Julio Urías in. But the move itself, I just don't have a problem with it.
Well, you know, you got to watch his stuff, and I didn't have a problem with it initially either. Mm-hmm. But as I saw where he was at, with his stuff, you know, the fastball was up, you know, 93, not 96, 97. A couple breaking balls left over the middle of the plate. You know, mm-hmm. that's not typical of what he does.
Yeah.
So you know, you can always second guess it, and obviously a lot of callers feel that way.
Max Scherzer went 4 1/3 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, the 7 strikeouts afterwards, talking about it. It was kind of refreshing to hear him say that, you know, he gave it his all out there, but he's just out of gas. He's got dead arm right now. And I threw out the number that he's pitched in 4 of the 8 Dodger postseason games so far, a total of 16 2/3 innings in 12 days that Max Scherzer has thrown. He's been asked to do a lot over the last 12 days, and it finally caught up to him.
Yeah, you know, I thought he pitched well, actually. You know, he had 13 outs, struck out 7 of the 13, made one bad pitch to Jock. I mean, there's been 11 other bad pitches to Jock throughout the postseason, his postseason career that he's hit out. So, you know, a starting pitcher to me, especially in the postseason, you got to give your team a chance to win.
Yeah.
I thought he did that. You know, I think when you walk 9 times, which the Dodgers did, they also had JT reach by hit by pitch, and you get only 4 hits throughout that evening, and you're 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position. More than anything, I think the offense needed to step it up a little bit. They had opportunities. They had the Braves on the ropes. Ian Anderson, their starting pitcher, he was out early. So there were many opportunities, many guys on base needed a key hit here and there to really kind of change that momentum, especially after the seventh inning.
This team looks maybe a little exhausted. The day off tomorrow will certainly be a good thing, but flying back here late at night and getting in early is going to be tough. But I imagine a day off, maybe treatment, maybe some guys getting some work in on their own if they want at the stadium. But getting ready for an early game on Tuesday, 2 o'clock game, with Walker Buehler and Charlie Morton getting the start in Game 3. Matt, what do you think, Ned, as far as this team and maybe some possible fatigue after the Game 5 win and going to Atlanta and turning around and playing 48 hours later? Do they look a little fatigued to you?
Well, a little bit. You know, I think that when you think about the season that they've had and winning all the games that they won, the Giants and the Dodgers pushed each other to the limit, to 162 games, pushed each other to the limit. Atlanta at least had a few days to take a breath near the end and kind of get everything set up. Then the Dodgers had a wild card game.
Yeah.
And then they had a grueling five-game series against the Giants while Atlanta finished off Milwaukee in four games. So the Dodgers have played six games going into this series postseason. Atlanta's played four. You got a little bit of a difference right there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, think about the last three games the Dodgers have played. All of them on the road.
Mm.
All of them decided in one of the team's last at-bats. Dodgers win the last game in San Francisco on the Bellinger hit. Then they have two walk-off losses here. So when you're at this point in the season, I don't care who you are,
mm-hmm.
you have expended so much energy to get to this point in time. Certainly you're going to have a little bit of fatigue, as Chris Taylor mentioned, post-game,
yeah.
both mentally and physically. But I think that when you get back home and you're going to have 52,000 people there, I think that kind of rejuvenates your group. I think if they win tonight or if they win both nights, are they going to be as tired? Probably.
Mm.
But are they going to feel as tired? Probably not. But, you know, they have been under a different type of arrangement. Everybody in baseball has gone from 60 to 162. Their 162 was from the opening game to the last game of the regular season, just grinding it out versus San Francisco. Both those teams put the other team at huge risk trying to continue to compete because of what they had to do just to get to either the wild card or the division championship. And Dodgers have played two extra games than the other team in the National League Finals right now. So I think there's a lot of truth to that, but I also think that when you get to Tuesday night, I don't think you look at how tired you are. I think you're excited to play in front of your home crowd.
Final thing, Ned, the ball hit in the ninth to walk it off by Eddie Rosario. Short-hopped Corey Seager, who was moved over on the shift about 10 to 15 feet on the second base side of the second base bag. It was 105 miles an hour off the bat. You know, we can know the numbers now because of exit velo and whatnot. It was hit hard. It one-hopped him. It short-hopped him. And he tried to backhand it. And to me, baseball 101 is like, when you run at second base, you got to get in front of it. You can't backhand that with the risk of it going into, you know, past you into the outfield and the winning run scores. You got to put a body in front of it. Ron Darling on TBS even said, whatever you do, if you're an infielder, the ball cannot get past you if it's hit on the ground. You've got to get in front of it somehow, some way. Worst case, it's first and third, still with two outs. Corey Seager, I love him, but he's got to get in front of that ball.
Well, it was a tough play, and yes, that's one way of looking at it. And sure, it's easy for all of us to say that.
Yeah.
That ball exploded within about a foot and a half of where he was, and it was hard. I've seen it happen before to a lot of infielders in a lot of situations, even in the postseason. I can take you back to 1984 in San Diego with the Cubs with Tony Gwynn doing the same type of thing to Ryan Sandberg, gold glove second baseman. You know, sometimes when the ball is hit that hard and it explodes right in front of you like that, you've got one chance. And that is really to make your initial instinct, which is to backhand it. You know, even if he did make one step to his right and deflect it, there's no saying that ball isn't going to go 15, 20, 30 feet away from him anyway. It was a split-second decision to try and backhand and try and pick it like he did on Bruce Starr's throw to second base a little bit earlier in that inning. And that's the gamble you take, and that's the play you try to make.
Ned, we appreciate you coming on, bringing your expertise and kind of calming down Dodger fans after everything that happened tonight. Dodgers 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They strand 10 runners, and they lose game 2 5-4 on a walk-off RBI single. Ned, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Last year, they were down 3-1, beat Atlanta. You never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why we love having you, Ned. Thank you, buddy. All right, there he goes, Ned Coletti from Sportsnet LA. Dodgers not only down 3-1 last year in the NLCS, they were down 2-0, just like they are right now, down 2-0 in the NLCS. A little different. The series was in Arlington in the bubble. He didn't have all the days off in between. In fact, they played every day in a row from the October 12th through the October 18th, games 1 through 7. But the Dodgers were down 2-0 in this best-of-7 NLCS, just like they are right now to the Atlanta Braves. 866-987-2570. We keep going. Alfred in Upland is next up here on Dodger Talk on AM570. How you doing, Alfred?
Good, Tim. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, just wanted to, it was just a really, Dodgers beat themselves tonight. They should be up 2 games and none. What's sad is that they've been so inconsistent this whole year when they've losing the games. They've been like this all year. I can remember so many games where they had so many chances to win and they didn't win the games. And same thing the last 2 nights, they've been hurting themselves. I mean, if you look at it, Freeman struck out 7 times in the last 2 games. We controlled him and we had 4 stolen bases tonight. Unbelievable. We couldn't even hardly get any. I don't understand it. Here, one question I do have for you is this: why didn't they keep David Price on the roster? I don't understand. We could have used him tonight.
All right, I appreciate it. Again, you're gonna then to me, they went with the lefty Justin Brule over David Price. If that's what it came down to, which lefty was going to be kept on the roster, then Brule won over Price. And right tonight, you have a situation where you have a left-hander in Julio Urías. Again, I don't go back to this. I don't have a problem with the decision. He was scheduled to throw a bullpen. Look at the number of pitches he threw tonight, 14. He just didn't have life on the fastball. Ned mentioned it. He wasn't hitting 95, 96. He's hitting 92, 93. And the curveball, the first couple of hitters, did not have it. Once he gave up the lead, maybe the blood started going a little bit more. The adrenaline ticked up a little higher for Julio Urías. As Ned mentioned, once he got to Jock Peterson and then got a strikeout, you know, he was jacked up. You know, he was feeling it. The problem is he wasn't there early on in that inning. And the Braves tied it up 4-4 and then walk them off in the ninth inning with the RBI single from Eddie Rosario scoring Dansby Swanson. And getting a lot of reaction on Twitter, and I appreciate it. A lot of people appreciate the honesty here on Dodger Talk, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you straight. You know, the Dodgers did not get it done at the plate. Julio Urías, the move backfired, even though I thought the move was good at the time on paper. If you're going to put a game plan together, you couldn't have drawn it up any better. A guy in Julio Urías facing 2 lefties, top of the lineup. I have no problem with that. It backfired. It didn't work. But then you get Corey Seager in the 9th inning. Tough play. Gets in front of it. Maybe things shake out differently. We're going to extra innings if they can get out of that inning with no damage done. A lot of things did not go right for the Dodgers tonight. Offense, defense, pitching. And that is not a recipe to win. Usually you need all 3 to go your way to get a W, and that's gone that Dodger way a lot this year, and did so in Game 5 of the NLDS against the Giants, but it has not the first 2 games of the NLCS, and we brought it up with Ned. Maybe this team has hit a wall. Emotionally, physically, they're drained. You know, they had to win a Game 5, had their backs up against the wall in Game 4 of the NLDS. They had their backs up against the wall in Game 5 on the road, win an emotional game. Had to fly across the country the next day. 48 hours after that emotional win, they're playing game 1 of the NLCS against a rested Atlanta Braves team. They lose on a walk-off. They lose tonight on a walk-off. I think the best thing this Dodger team can do right now is get home, get out of Dodge, as they say, get back to Los Angeles, and rest up tomorrow. Rest up. Get away. Just get ready for the series to start again in Los Angeles on Tuesday afternoon at 2:08 Game 3. Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves. Again, they were in this situation a year ago, albeit there wasn't the home-and-home traveling and all that. The games were just in Arlington every day in the bubble in Texas. So a little different, but the scenario is the same. Down 2-0 in this best-of-7 NLCS. Eduardo in Norco is next up here on AM570 and Dodger Talk with Tim Cates. How you doing, Eduardo?
Oh, man, you nailed it. I'm a former middle infielder. I played with Nomar.
Oh, did you?
Farmer.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We played on the Brave Scout team and Long Beach Tool Breakers and Connie Mack.
Oh, right on.
So what'd you think about
Seager in the play in the ninth then?
Exactly. You nailed it. He's got to square that up.
Yeah.
Get in front of it. Body it. Knock it down. And you probably, as aggressive as Washington's at third, you may look for the out at third.
Yeah.
Take the throw to first and see what you can do. But Washington's aggressive. Swansby might even go around the back.
Yeah. All right.
So what? Let the next guy beat me.
Exactly.
Or he's got a cannon anyways. You don't have to back that. You don't have to backhand that to get him at first.
Yeah.
Square it up, step up, and throw to first.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. No
if
argument
there. If
you
knock it down, you still get him at third.
Yeah. Arwardo, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for checking in. I really appreciate that. 866-987-2570. Aaron in Pasadena is next up on AM570 and Dodger Talk. Hi, Aaron.
Yo, yo, how you doing, man?
I'm frustrated.
Just a little frustrated tonight.
Oh, we're both on.
Yeah, man, I'm frustrated, too. I share the same sentiment with you as well as the last caller. You definitely got to body up. I know Button Ned said you got to go with your first instinct, but your first instinct has to be to body up on that ball. And do everything you can. This is game two of the NLCS. You got to keep that ball on the infield. I don't care if it's with your teeth. You have to keep it on the infield. That's just how it is. Secondly, man, it's just a few things fundamentally. Last night, Chris Taylor rounding second base.
Yep.
And I know Nomar kind of said that his instincts kick in and he didn't pick up the third base coach, but I'm old school. You have to pick up the third base coach on that so you don't have to think. The ball is in right field. You don't want to get caught looking behind you. And that's kind of what he did. After he passed second base, he looked back for a second and then he stopped. If he picks up Dino going around second base, he doesn't even have to make an instinctual decision. He's just sold out to what the third base coach said.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are little fundamentals that we got to get back to, man. That's not an instinct play. That's a fundamental play where you pick up the third base coach. That's what we teach children, and that's what he had to do in that particular situation.
All right, Aaron, I appreciate it. I echo a lot of what you had to say. Thanks for waiting on hold, and make sure you check in again. 866-987-2570, 866-987-2570. The Braves walk off the Dodgers in the ninth. Eddie Rosario, an RBI single off the glove of Corey Seager. That drives in Dansby Swanson as the Braves win at 5-4. The Dodgers led 2-0, gave up the lead. They led 4-2. Julio Urias comes in the eighth inning, gives up an RBI single to Albies, and then an RBI double to Austin Riley. That tied the game up at 4. Dodgers had golden opportunities throughout the game. And by no means am I saying the game was won or lost on the Corey Seager play in the ninth inning. That was just the final play of the game. There was a lot that happened leading up to that. We had Julio Urias not having his best stuff in the eighth inning, giving up two runs and blowing a two-run lead. You got Max Scherzer, who gave it his all tonight. I don't put anything on him. He has a dead arm. Gives up just one or two runs on 4 hits, 7 strikeouts. He pitched his butt off tonight. But the Dodgers' offense, 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position and stranding 10 more runners. In the series, 2-for-18 runners in scoring position and have stranded 17 runners. Ned brought up a great point. The Dodgers walked 9 times tonight and Justin Turner was hit by a pitch. You were given 10 base runners. 10 base runners were given to you by the Atlanta Braves. You didn't have to give a hit. You didn't have to drive the ball anywhere. You didn't have to beat out a throw. 9 walks and a hit by pitch. 10 guys got free rides on base. And the Dodgers were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. Had a whopping 4 hits all game. The Braves had 10 hits. They got those key hits when they needed them. 866-987-2570. Let's keep things going. Joe in Boston, listening deep into the night in Boston. Happy Monday morning to you, Joe.
Hey, Tim, keeping me up. This is a frustrating thing. I've been a Dodgers fan for 26 years, and it doesn't get easier to see games like this late. You know, I want to get your thoughts on Trinan. 9 pitches, and you pull them for Julio. We saw TBS cut to the bullpen. You see him in there, and you're wondering why. You've got Gratterall still. Kenley hasn't been really taxed at all. And even before that, Souza, that throw from right field, I mean, two hopper to the plate. If we would have left Mookie in that right field, he would have thrown, he would have hosed that guy.
Dude.
So I don't want to blame Julio, and I think you're totally right. There's a bunch of plays you can go back and say this, this, and that, but Souza wasn't the right guy in right field for that play. Tim, I think you know this, and then I think just, can you give me some insight into why Blake can only throw nine pitches and why he can't come back out for that eighth inning?
Well, I appreciate it. Let me dive deep a little bit into that, actually. This is Blake Treinen's, you know, he's been worked a lot. Blake Treinen is already in this postseason, including the wild card, pitched in three of the five games against the San Francisco Giants. He pitched he pitched last night in the loss. It went a third of an inning, and he pitched tonight as well. You're asking him to pitch a lot. And tonight, Blake Treinen went out there and did exactly what he needed to do. He pitched the seventh inning. He gave up a walk, but then got a double play. And then he got a ground ball out to Cody Bellinger at first. Nine pitches, no runs, no hits, one walk, and he's out of the game. And the Dodgers were up 4-2 after they had scored those two runs at the top of the seventh. The way the Braves lineup was set up in the going into the eighth inning, you had lefty-lefty switch hitter. You had the top of the lineup for the Atlanta Braves. Lefty-lefty Ozzie Albies, who's a switch hitter. The Dodgers didn't want to send Blake Treinen out there for a second inning for a second straight night. I know, last night he gave up the game-winning RBI single and was out there for a third of an inning. But back-to-back nights, you're asking this guy to pitch, and now you're asking him to go back out there versus second inning against two lefties to start off the eighth inning. I don't have a problem with him not coming back out there. They went to a lefty to go after the lefty Rosario and the lefty Freeman and the switch-hitting Albies. Your only two choices are Justin Brühl and Julio Urías, your starter, 20-game winner, who hadn't thrown a bullpen session, to go out and ask him to get three outs. I mean, what hypothetical. I know it's a what if. It didn't happen, but what if Julio would have gone out there and got Rosario to ground out on two pitches, got Freeman to pop out, and then all of a sudden he gets Albies, you know, to fly out to deep center field, and he throws nine pitches, and he has a 1-2-3 inning, and there's a two-run lead, and they're going to the ninth inning. We're all sitting here saying, yeah, Julio's a team guy. Julio's the man. Julio came in there and got it done. They needed a lefty to shut down the top of their lineup, and he did it. He didn't. He didn't execute what he was asked to do. That's as simple as it is. He didn't have his curveball. He didn't have the 90-plus mile-an-hour fastball early in that inning. Found it later. Again, as I keep saying, when the blood was going and the energy rose inside Truist Park and that two-run lead evaporated and all of a sudden it's 4-4 and you're out there and you're trying to get out and you've got one out, you get back-to-back strikeouts. He had something then. He just didn't have it early when he came out in the eighth inning. He was flat. The move backfired on Dave Roberts and this coaching staff. And again, to think that this was just a decision made on a whim, that Dave Roberts and Mark Pryor and Bob Guerin and this coaching staff said, hey, you know what? Some lefties coming up next inning. Hey, Julio, you want to pitch? You know, you want to get in the game today? No, this was by design. If needed, that's where they're going to go with him. Hadn't pitched. There's a reason why he didn't throw his bullpen session before the game tonight. But he's still going to start game four. And Max Scherzer, if you missed it earlier, Max Scherzer talked about his performance and how he's got a dead arm, not an injury, but just he's tired. He's fatigued. He's got a dead arm. It's like after you work out, you're sore. You know, your arms feel dead. That's what he's got as a dead arm right now. He needs a couple of days off. For Julio, he didn't throw as many pitches in his last outing, so he didn't tax his arm as much, and so he was able to go today and then turn around and pitch on Wednesday for this Dodgers team and not have that fatigue. Whereas Max Scherzer emptied the tank in his last couple performances, then was asked to come back on short rest in game five of the NLDS, get that adrenaline going again, and then come back and pitch now 3 days later. He's been asked to do a lot with his pitch count up in a lot of those outings. Whereas Julio, his outings, he hasn't thrown as many pitches. And Max really explained that well when he talked to the media earlier. So he laid it out because somebody asked him, well, do you think this is going to happen to Julio just like it happened to you, where you're going to get a, he's going to get a dead arm overuse? He said, no, no, no. And just what I said, he said, he explained it very nicely. 866-987-2570. Let's go to Lewis. Is that who's next? Lewis.
Yeah.
Next up. Go ahead, Lewis.
Tim, your analysis has been spot on.
Oh, thank you.
Two quick things. I wonder, when you look at that shot to Corey at the end, Kenley put his mitt up, and whether that, you know, got him off for a second. But again, I think that's minor. My question is really more about the offense. Mm-hmm. And going back to your days as a wonderful CIF catcher, I don't know whether you're light hitting or heavy hitting, what do you do to take advantage of it? Because that's really what it's been all about in the last 2 days. The process on the pitching made total sense. Why does AJ Pollock be unable there in that inning with Taylor on third to, you know, not put the ball in play, whether, you know, that was one. And then, of course, last night, the situation where there's a whole infield open and Mookie pops up.
Yep.
And then Turner hits one to the wall tonight. So there's a part of it that I think is going to turn, but there's a part of it where it's just like, what can you do to just tweak it?
You got
to
change your approach. You got to change your approach, Lewis. I appreciate it. When you're in the postseason and runs are at a premium like this, you cannot slug and try to crush the ball every single time. The Dodgers tonight had a leadoff runner get on the first, second, fifth, sixth, and seventh inning. Well, that leadoff runner in the first was Mookie Betts, and he scored on the two-run home run from Corey Seager. In the seventh inning, that leadoff runner scored thanks to the two-out, two-run double. Bloop single, I should say, from Chris Taylor. The Dodgers had other opportunities. They could have cashed in more runs in the first, but couldn't get that big hit. In the third inning, they had runners on first and second with one out. First and second with one out in the third inning. And Gavin Lux pops out to third in foul territory. Riley goes and catches the ball one step from going into the Dodger dugout. Pops out, foul territory, out number two. And then Chris Taylor struck out. You had first and second with one out. You're already up 2-0 with Lux and Chris Taylor up. All you need is a base hit somewhere. Find the gap. Put the ball in play. Pop up into foul territory and strike out. You could have made it a 3-0 game. If both runners get in, it's a 4-0 game, and you're putting the pressure on the Atlanta Braves. All right, that's the third inning. Let's get to the fifth. Leadoff walk by Betts. Seager pops out on a broken bat. Trey Turner strikes out on an ugly pitch. Will Smith is intentionally walked to get to Gavin Lux. First and second, two outs, and the Dodgers can't get a hit, inning over. The sixth inning, leadoff walk to Chris Taylor. He steals second. The sixth inning is a great opportunity and an example of what the Dodgers did not do tonight and have not done the first two games, and that's get a hit with runners in scoring position. 2-for-18. Tonight, sixth inning, the Dodgers and Braves are tied at 2. It's 2-2 in the sixth. Chris Taylor draws a leadoff walk, steals second. Nobody out, runner at second. Bellinger, on a 3-0 pitch, flies out to the outfield. Taylor tags and goes to third. But unless it's a 3-0 pitch that you crush for a home run, you can't pop out like that. You gotta drive the ball into the gap somewhere, line drive somewhere. You can't get underneath it and try to crush a 3-0 pitch and miss. You can't miss on that. Runner at third, one out after Bellinger's fly ball out. And what does Pollock do? Strikes out. Just not a good at bat. You got to put the ball in play. At that point, you got to drive the ball and try to get a sac fly, something. Get the ball out of the infield. Get that runner home however you can. You cannot strike out. And he did. And then pinch hitter Albert Pujols struck out. And just, I'll be honest with you, I love Albert. Wasn't a great at bat. It just wasn't. That's a great example of what the Dodgers did not do tonight and have not done in this series. Leadoff runner on with a walk, steals second, nobody out, 2-2 game. You get him to third, and you can't get him in. Right there is the difference. And that's just the sixth inning. The seventh inning, they got two runs and could have put up more. They loaded the bases to get to A.J. Pollock. It's like they're picking on Pollock. They just give up two runs, two guys on, and they intentionally walk Cody Bellinger to load the bases to get to A.J. Pollock. And Pollock, what does he do? Strikes out. Strikes out with the bases loaded. Twice, he had opportunities to drive in runs and maybe open it up, maybe change the way this game was trending. Maybe they never have to use Julio Urias. You bust it wide open. Your leverage guys are different. The choice of relievers is a little different. If you're up 5-2 in the eighth inning, maybe you're going to Justin Brule instead of Julio Urias. But you got to get those big hits. You just have to. And the Dodgers cannot get them. 1-for-10 tonight with runners in scoring position. They strand 10 runners. That's just not good. It's not good. Again, not picking on Corey Seager and that play in the ninth inning. It's a tough one hop, short hop right at him. And the way it's coming off the bat, it was hit hard. It's a tough play. It really is. And if he picks that ball and he makes the out, hey, you know what? That's the defensive play of the game. That is. Could be the defensive play of the year. And he just picked the ball right before that in the inning. On the bunt attempt, Bruce Dar Gratterall, who was on to start the ninth, picked it up and fired a one-hopper at him at second base, and he picked it and made a great play to get the force out. So he just made a great pick at second earlier in the inning, but that hard-hit ball did not make a good play on it. Just didn't. And again, not picking on him, but that play, that ball cannot get by you. It just can't. Not in that situation. Not in game two of the NLCS with the go-ahead run at second base. That ball's got to stay in the infield. And again, that's not the reason they lost the game. That was the final play that ended up losing the game. But we just detailed everything leading up to that. From the first to the second to the fifth to the sixth to the seventh to Julio coming in the eighth and not executing. All of that is what led to this Dodgers loss tonight and them being down 0-2 in the NLCS. Let's keep things moving. I appreciate it. Let's go to, I'm trying to see who's been on hold the longest here. Andrew in Palm Springs. Andrew, thanks for being patient. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Just a little frustrated, you know, just like everybody else. You know, just a head scratch of this game. I'm not too sure why, you know, Gavin Lux is batting fifth in that lineup. I feel like after Will Smith, there was really no production besides CT3 in that spot. Pollock has been slumping all playoffs. I mean, I understand the idea of getting Julio there in the eighth. I mean, he gave up two runs. That's not the ball game. But I just think that the Dodgers need to be clutch. Feel like game one, we had man on third, one out. Mookie Betts comes up, top of the lineup, pops out to third, and that's the end of that.
That's been the problem the whole time, though, Andrew. In these two games. Runners in scoring position. I mean, tonight's 1-for-10. The last two nights, the Dodgers are a combined 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position. That right there is not good. 17 runners left on base. 17 left on base. That's the Galuzzi games all the time. You don't even have to look at the rest of the box score, and you tell me a team is 2-for-18 over the two games, or 1-for-10 in this last game. I'm going to say, you know what? Odds are they probably lost the game, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if the guy out there went out there and threw a gem on the mound or the bullpen pitched its butt off. Odds are going to tell you that if a team is 1-for-10 and a combined 2-for-18 in two games, they're not getting it done offensively and probably not winning baseball games. 866-987-2570. Hey, it's Ken in Newport. Long time no talk, Ken. How you doing?
Hey, Tim. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I just used probably $80 worth of gas just driving around waiting to talk. Because I can't listen to the radio at home. Anyway, look, I'm not going to talk about why they used Kenley in the eighth instead of the ninth yesterday, or why Beatty, who was clearly going to have a left-hander come in, was even announced because she lost him for the day. I'm not going to talk about the old guy who hasn't got a ball out of the infield the last 12 times up. My problem is something else.
Okay.
Dodgers only had one player left. They used 7 pitchers. 12 times this year, the Dodgers ran out of pitchers. It's like taking your girlfriend or your wife to the jewelry store and saying, take anything you want, and 6 hours later, she changed her mind 50 times, then you go crazy.
I would have left already.
He overmanages.
Yeah.
He overmanages. 7 years I've watched him make moves he didn't need to make. He didn't need to take Drinan out. He didn't need to take Gratterall out. He overmanaged and overthought. And you know, as far as the hitting, I heard a good analysis where somebody said, the Dodgers are trying to always use a driver when sometimes they should use a 7-iron or a pitching wedge.
Yeah.
And that's true.
That goes back to the comment that I appreciate it. Great to hear from you, buddy. It's been a long time, and we'll have to do this more often. It goes back to what Dave Roberts said early in the series against the San Francisco Giants, that you have to be able to have more clubs in your bag. You know, that's the same analogy you're talking about. You can't just have a driver out there. You got to be able to use the 7-iron. You got to be able to use your pitching wedge or your 9-iron to get close. You know, you can't just use the driver every single time. You're not Happy Gilmore out there. That's exactly what the Dodgers have gotten back into doing. And that's what baseball has become, though, unfortunately. So it's not just a Dodger thing. It's a baseball thing. It's slug. It's see how far you can hit it. I mean, if I have to see the stupid graphic again on social media that says, well, the velocity and the angle of the ball and the exit velo and the projection of the Trey Turner fly ball in the ninth inning that almost went out of Truist Park, any other park in baseball would have gone out of based on the velocity and the launch angle and the way the ball was spinning and the velocity spin rate. I don't care about that stuff. It's an F7 in my book. I wrote it down as a fly ball left field. I don't care woulda, coulda, shoulda, different ballpark, wind's blown a different way, you know, exit velo this, spin rate that. I don't care about that. He missed. He got under it just probably too much. And flew out to left field right in front of the wall. That's it. Don't have to break it down anymore for me. You just don't. And to going back to what you said, Ken, about overthinking things, there are times, and that happens all in baseball. I mean, look how many pitchers the Braves used tonight. The Braves used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pitchers. Nobody went longer than an inning after Ian Anderson couldn't get out after 3 innings and giving up those 2 runs on 3 hits and walking 3. The Dodgers had their opportunities. This isn't about what Dave Roberts did, mixing and matching relievers against the Braves lineup. Because outside of Julio Urias, looks like he did a pretty good job. Vesia did his job. Joe Kelly did his job. Blake Treinen did his job. Gratterall got 2 outs. Kenley Jansen didn't do his job. Didn't get any help defensively. But the glaring number is 1-for-10. And 10 runners left on base. And again, when you get 9 walks and a hit by pitch, those are 10 base runners that get on for you and you don't have to get a hit. You worked a count. You drew a walk 9 times. And you also had a Justin Turner hit by a pitch. 10 base runners were given to you by the Atlanta Braves tonight. And you're 1-for-10, and you strand 10 runners. 4 hits in the entire game tonight. Home run in the first, RBI, 2-run double from Chris Taylor in the seventh. There's 2 other hits out there. Mookie Betts to lead off the game. And let's see, Will Smith had a hit. 2 of your 4 hits came in the first 2 batters of the game. That's not a good recipe to win games. Leaving them on base, not driving them in, not getting back-to-back hits and stringing together a rally and stranding guys on base is going to kill you. Just absolutely kill you. Laura and Diamond Bar is next up here on on Dodger Talk. Laura, there you go. Laura, welcome. How you doing?
Hey. A tad disappointed. I was at the watch party tonight when the whole room was just silent at the end of the game. Hey, I just wanted to bring up also, Brian Snitker was very effective and bold today because he took the bats out of our hands. He IBB'd Belly and Will Smith. And I think what I want to tell Dave, if he's listening, Dave Roberts, you need to IBB Austin Riley. Especially when there's a runner on base, and especially if that runner's already stolen second.
So you want to intentionally walk to take. You want to intentionally walk Austin Riley to get to Jock Peterson?
Yeah, because there's some kind of voodoo magic going on with Austin Riley. I'll take my chances with Jock. No problem.
All right, Laura, I appreciate it. I disagree with you. I wouldn't intentionally walk Austin Riley every single time to get to Jocktober. Because he hit a ball that I think almost landed in the Atlantic Ocean today, and they're playing in Atlanta. He hit the ball 452 feet to I think was the upper deck or the deck right below the upper deck there at Truist Park. Austin Riley's really good. His problem was defense, and defense. He can crush the ball. I mean, he had 30-plus home runs. He hit over 300. He drove in guys. The reason why they didn't go out and get a third baseman at the deadline is because they got Austin Riley at third base, and he figured out how to play defense. Colin knows that. Colin, he's got him on his fantasy baseball team. And he said he stunk defensively, but he could swing it. But when you got Jock Peterson right behind him, I'm not sure I'm intentionally walking him. It's a little different when you're intentionally walking Will Smith to get to Gavin Lux, or you're intentionally walking Cody Bellinger to get to A.J. Pollock, who was 0 for 4 and struck out twice tonight. And by the way, those two strikeouts from A.J. Pollock could not come at a worse time. We mentioned he struck out with a runner at third and one out in the sixth. And then after they intentionally walked Bellinger in the seventh to load the bases to get to A.J. Pollock, he struck out. Left all three runners on base. Not good. 866-987-2570. We're gonna jam through these calls as fast as we can because Colin's been here all day and Colin wants to go home. All right, let's go to Frank in West Covina. Frank, how you doing? You're on Dodger Talk.
Hey, I'm doing good, Dave. Thank you for all your analysis. I really appreciate it. I just wanted to bring up a couple of things. You're absolutely right. No timely hitting, and that's because someone has told us that we need to hit home runs, and that's sad. The other item that I wanted to bring up is Will Smith. Had Will Smith tonight caught the ball that play at the plate and then tagged the runner out, he would have been out.
Yeah.
And yesterday, he had a pass ball. They called it a wild
pitch. It's a wild pitch.
But
it's a wild pitch. It's a wild pitch, Frank.
He missed it.
The ball was 3 feet outside.
He put a glove on it. Stand up and cut.
Hey, Corey Seager put a glove on the ball tonight.
I agree. Stand in front of the plate. I like his bat, but I rather have
Austin Barnes. All right, Frank, I appreciate it. Okay, we're going to talk in circles and disagree. That was a wild pitch last night. The way that Will Smith was set up and where he was set up and the pitch where it actually was on the outside way off the plate, that's a hard ball to get to. Across your body and to get to it, that's a hard pitch to get to. That's a wild pitch. That's not a ball that's a rude ball that you're supposed to get and you let get past you. That's a passed ball when it's the catcher's fault. No. That's a wild pitch. But that was last night. The play at the plate tonight, there was a couple of them. The one that Souza threw at home, those are bang-bang plays. And Will Smith, maybe he hangs onto the ball. You're right. Maybe they get it out there. Again, okay, we'll put that in the laundry list of things that didn't go right for the Dodgers tonight. But how about it goes at the very bottom, Frank? How about it goes at the very bottom of the list, and at the very top, we put the Dodgers' lack of big hits, the lack of getting a hit with a runner in scoring position. How about we focus on that right now and not the fact that a bang-bang play at the plate on a slide and Will Smith doesn't hang onto the ball is the reason. No. Ken in Monterey Park is next up. Ken, welcome to Dodger Talk after the Dodgers lose game two of the NLCS. How you doing?
Good. How are you? So this is my assessment from the beginning of the season all the way to the playoffs.
I think it's a huge consequence of not re-signing Jock Peterson and Kike. And as you see in the playoffs, through and through again and again, even after leaving the Dodgers, they play to show up their money players. And it's a huge consequence. And I think that's part of the chemistry issue, where the inconsistency of the offense is not fluid like the past 5 years. And when you look at the players here that are not replacing to their level of standard in playoffs, I think that's where you're paying. If you don't pay up, you know, at the end of the day, if you pay up to these players, you're going to get a championship again, and you get more sponsorship money and more raises and ticket prices. Everybody gets paid. That's the bottom line. And unfortunately, it's a huge miss. That's my opinion. So I want to hear your take.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It was going to be tough to bring those guys back. And I don't even want to say the name Chris Taylor to you, because he's a free agent at the end of the year. So is Corey Seager, a free agent at the end of the year. This Dodger team could look different in 2022 with the free agents that they have going into this offseason. And I'll be honest with you, not all of them are coming back next year. But that's for when the season is over in a few weeks after the World Series. The Dodgers have business to take care of. They're down 0-2 in this NLCS in games that they should have won in Atlanta. They should not have lost the game last night on a walk-off RBI single and lose 3-2. Not when you have 10 hits, out-hit the Braves in game one, and go 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. Should not happen. Should not happen. And the way the bullpen pitched last night was great. They come back in game two, and to lose tonight after a leadoff two-run home run, then blowing that, then going up 4-2 and losing that lead, and losing on a walk-off RBI single from Eddie Rosario, should not happen. Dodgers should be up 2-0, but life is about woulda, coulda, shouldas, right? Wish I would have done this. Wish I could have done that. Wish I would have done this. Fact is, they're down 0-2 in this NLCS. They got to get themselves off the mat. They got to get ready, and they got to get ready to fight in Game 3 against the Braves on Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. All right, our final call. Let's go to Casey in L.A. Casey, you're next up here on Dodger Talk. Hi, Casey.
Hey, Tim. I love the passion and insight that you and Dave bring to all of the broadcast and all the aspects of it.
Appreciate it.
The thing that's been bothering me is how small Trey Turner has come up. It was the wild card game when I first saw him. I think it was the second inning. He came up with a scoring opportunity and he hit into a double play on a high outside pitch. And I thought, And ever since then, I feel like he hasn't done anything. There were a couple of, base knocks and so when the game was kind of already in hand. And I just, A.J. Pollock, of course he's getting a lot of the grief because of what he's been doing. But I think Turner's gotten a bit of a free ride in all of this. He's the batting champion. And then I hear his record in postseason isn't that great. And I know you don't want to talk about upcoming seasons and everything, but everyone thinks, well, we can let Seager walk because we got Trey Turner. And I'm thinking, I'm not so sure about that. So it's all about the offense. Anything about Urias and Scherzer and Gratterall, these last 2 days have been about the offense. And I appreciate your taking the time. And Trey Turner, come on, step up for us, please.
All right. I hear what you're saying, Casey. It's been frustrating to see the lack of offensive production from several guys. And I'll put Trey Turner right there in the middle of that. I mean, Trey Turner last night in the loss goes, 2-for-4 with the strikeout. But tonight comes back and Trey Turner's 0-for-5 with 3 punchouts. And that fifth at bat, he hits the ball right to the base of the wall. He thought he had gotten all of it. You go on Twitter and all the computer people thought that he had hit it out with the launch angle and exit velo and trajectory and rectangles and all that stuff that you put into to figuring that stuff out. But it wasn't. It wasn't a home run. It was a fly ball to left field. He's a guy at the top of the lineup. When Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, and Trey Turner are get it going, this team is unstoppable. But right now, it's Betts, Seager, and then it stops drastically with Trey Turner and then gets back going again with Will Smith and other guys in the lineup. But Trey Turner's become a hole there offensively in this postseason. 0-for-5 tonight with 3 punchouts. So again, let's hope this Dodgers team can get on a plane, fly back, get some rest, maybe watch some Netflix, maybe watch some Squid Games, maybe watch a little, Friends or whatever the kids are watching nowadays on reruns, Seinfeld, whatever it is, figure it out in game 3 on Tuesday, but most importantly, get rested, get ready, get mentally ready to go. Tomorrow's an off day. The Dodgers will most likely not have a full team workout. I would expect just guys getting treatment and guys going through some workouts individually, and then get ready for game three, which is an early game Tuesday afternoon. So they don't have two full days to get ready. They have tomorrow, and they got half day on Tuesday, because it is a 2 o'clock first pitch at a Dodger Stadium. Make sure you get your tickets, Dodgers.com, and get out to the stadium. Dodgers are down 2-0 in the NLCS. But remember, they were down 2-0 last year in the NLCS. Then they were down 3-1, and they came back and won in seven games. Dodgers down 2-0 right now, very easily. All they got to do is hold court, win games 3, 4, and 5, and go back to Atlanta. And all they got to do is win one of two back at Truist Park. All right, thanks to Colin Yee. Thanks to all you Dodger fans for being a part of the show. Until next time, have a great rest of your Sunday night. Braves walk off the Dodgers 5-4. They're up 2-0 in this NLCS. So long, everybody.